NOOM.com.
And support for WMNF comes from you, our wonderful members. Thank you so much for tuning in to WMNF Tampa. We are your community radio. We're our community radio station. Happy New Year. My name is Joellen Schulke. I am the hostess who loves you absolutely the mostest. Super excited to be here with you today. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to be talking to some of the artists from Five Deuces Galleria. They have an art show this weekend, and plus it's a really cool space you might want to know more about. A little later in the show, we're going to be talking with Hank Hines, director of the Dalí Museum and poet. We're going to be talking about a poetry event that he is part of next Thursday night, plus music and announcements for you throughout the area. Let's get started. I've just wanted to play lots of Billie Holiday, so let's listen to some Billie Holiday.
My days have grown so lonely. For you I cry, for you dear only. Why haven't you seen me? I'm all for you, body and soul. I spend my days in long.
Gorgeous is that. Well, again, thank you for tuning in to 88.5 today. Here's an important update for you. WMNF signal in our listening area outside Tampa Bay might be a little weak in the next few days. There are some atmospheric conditions, and there is testing on our tower in Riverview. You can still hear us loud and clear on WMNF.org or on our wonderful WMNF app. Free app in the App Store or Google Play. No matter how you are listening, thank you so much for listening. And also thank you, Florida Public Media. Support for WMNF comes from our members in Florida Southern College, encouraging visitors to experience the world's largest collection of Frank Lloyd Wright architecture with a guided campus tour. Tour reservations and details can be found at flsouthern.edu/FLLW. Anything I got to tell you? Happy New Year. Really glad 2019 is over. That year was a bit rough, let's say. There's lots of stuff going on in the area now that things have sort of moved around. One of the things I'm going to go searching for, and I don't know if anyone's seen it. If you have, please send me an email at dj@wmnf.org, or you can text in at 813-433-0885. But there's supposed to be these figures, wastelanders, around Ybor City. Richard Hinger has a post-apocalyptic installation around Ybor, and I haven't seen them yet. So after the show, I'm going to go look for them. So if you have seen them, please send me information or send me a picture. You can put a picture on the Art in Your Ear Facebook page. And I'm dying to see this, and I'd like to know what you think about it. Well, I want to get back in there and put some music on and come back with a great interview with great artists for you. Right now, I have been listening to music since it was, the end of the decade. I've been listening to all sorts of music that I listened to throughout the decade, and this song jumped out at me, and I hope you like it.
There's a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch, and it's bringing me out the dark. Finally, I can see you crystal clear. Go ahead and sell me out, and I'll lay your ship bare.
And that was some Adele, because, It was one of the artists that maybe everybody else knew about, but I found out about. Does everybody have their headphones on? Everyone can hear?
Yep.
Put your volume up. So, well, I have a full studio. I love having a full studio. And this studio is full of artists from Five Deuces Galleria in St. Petersburg. Thank you all so much for coming in.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask you to introduce yourselves so I can, so our listeners, I can distinguish between you because you're sitting in front of me, but this way the listeners can know. And so what I'm going to do is ask you your name and then also ask a little bit about what medium or media you prefer to work in. And Julie Howra, I'm going to start with you.
I'm so impressed you said my name right.
Yay!
I'm Julie Howra, and I paint primarily acrylics, black and white.
I'm sorry, I just feel like your mic should be louder. I'm not sure why it isn't loud enough. So, but somebody will come in and rescue me from it, I'm sure. Okay, so you paint acrylics. DT is here to rescue. What am I doing wrong, dear DT?
Who's talking?
That was Mike on, I don't know,
Mike 2?
Mm-hmm. And it's on, and it's not loud.
Okay.
All right, well, we're going to ask, I'm going to ask Evelyn to see if we have a difference on mic 3.
Well, my name is Evelyn Defner, and I primarily paint in acrylics, and I've used a lot of mixed media as well with, you know, paper and found objects, but lately it's been mostly acrylic.
Well, I'm going to just start, sorry about this, will you try again?
Can you hear me now?
I don't know, not as well. So I don't think it's you. You seem to be, I can hear you in my ears. So, well, DT, and are you a St. Pete person, St. Pete native?
I am, yes. Well, I live in St. Petersburg.
Where did you start off your art career?
In St. Petersburg, in a space in my house. And I think that's where all good artists start. And when you run out of space, you need to find something to do with your art, then it starts to move around a bit.
So, cool. We're going to work on this. And meanwhile, because I want Julie to be talking, I'm going to go ahead. And we heard from Evelyn. And now, Jeffrey Barris.
Hi there. Yes, I'm a photographer, and I do fine art photography as well as I was a fashion photographer for about 35 years. So I do portraits in my studio as well. And I also curate the shows at Five Deuces Galleria.
So is that a lot of power?
It's a lot of work. I don't know that there's any power in it, but I do spend a lot of time looking for new artists and finding artists. And so if there's any artists out there that think they would be great for a show, then definitely they should send me some JPEGs and send me to my email.
So you don't have to be you don't have to have a studio at Five Deuces to have a show at Five Deuces.
No, what we started doing was about a year ago, we started curating shows and having new artists every month so that when Art Walk and different events would happen where people would come, they would not come back and see the same work over and over again. Mm-hmm. So every month we have a new show, which is always the first Saturday. And then we also have Art Walk, which is the second Saturday, and both in the evenings.
That's a great idea because I find that I love seeing people's work with other people's work and changing that out because every time you match, you know, you have that juxtaposition and then different things talk to you while you're looking at the work.
Yeah, we have 6 new artists every month.
Wow, that's great. And Thomas, welcome.
Thank you.
And what the heck do you do?
That's a good question. I'm primarily a painter, mixed media. I do a lot of collage work, not in the traditional sense. I collage papers down and dye them different colors and then destroy them, essentially. Scraping them, sanding them, bringing it out that weathered, stressed look. And then I also do straight acrylic paintings.
Is that process? Do you like the process of doing that? I mean, is that do you know what you want at the end when you're doing going through
no,
that?
No, not at all.
That sounds
no.
Great.
It's I come from a jazz background. I don't have training in traditional arts except for jazz. So I kind of just take that improvised approach to it and kind of see what it unveils after you start scraping. Mm-hmm. Images start popping out, images start leaving, new shapes form, and I kind of just roll with that.
And that's a great start off point, and this is for everybody, is there's a lot of times artists plan things out, and then, you know, and that's where their initial burst is they know where they're going when they get started. So I'm really curious with, as Tom, do you go by Thomas or Tom?
Thomas.
As Thomas was saying, you know, that there is this serendipity to it and this unknown factor. Is that true for you with your paintings? You know, that you plan them out, or you're like, nope, I don't know what's going to come out?
No, I don't usually have a plan. Sometimes I'll have a sketch, but more often than not, it's something that's in my head or something I saw in a part of a picture. And so that may be a good starting point, but it evolves from there. And the end never ends up looking like I thought it would.
Right, yeah. So I think we are going to share mics because I want everybody to hear everybody. So then, is there a certain emotional point you're trying to hit, or an expression that, because that's to me, I am not a visual artist. I'm not an artist really in any way. And so one of the curious things to me, since you guys aren't super familiar with the show, is how people know when they're on the right path, when they're on the wrong path, but also like how you know when, all right, leave it alone. Don't mess with it anymore.
Well, a friend of mine once answered that question for me. She said, it's never done until it's sold. And it's very true, because I think I'm done with something, and then 2 days later I look at it and I need to change it, and I change it over and over again. And sometimes I scrap the whole thing. I just paint over the entire painting, essentially start over.
Right.
So her words were golden.
I like that. I always thought when, I think it was now 2 or 3 years ago, Kanye West released Pablo, and he was releasing it in pieces, but then he was also redoing it and re-releasing the tracks. And I thought, oh, that's the future of music right there, is that the idea, you know, it's already changed with the drops, you know, things like what Beyonce did and, oh crap, whatever Chris Martin's band is, Coldplay did, you know, like they're dropping it. But then what he did was like that never ending release of an album. And to me, that was more analogous to what visual artists do and poets and stuff like that, where they keep on after it over and over and over again. Is that the same for you, Evelyn? Or
yeah, I was going to say that there's something beautiful about the destructive process of being willing to let go of a piece of work that isn't working for you, and then doing something different to it and just moving. And it took me a long time to get there. So it would take me a year to do one or two paintings. And now the last few years, I'm doing 40, 50 paintings a year because I'm willing to let go. Anytime I've had an actual plan, I've failed more than if I just went. And that's one of the things that I've been working with, is just painting more intuitively. And when I see something, going with it. And sometimes what I see is awful. I've sold several paintings that actually have 3 or 4 paintings underneath.
Well, and, you know, one that's a tradition. I think they just found another, I forget which classic, you know, Renaissance painter, but they just found another whole painting underneath his painting. But also, do you keep, like, are there elements in ones that you're like, oh, this is terrible, you know, I'm not doing this, this is not right, I don't want to do this. But are there elements that stick with you that emerge and may and go on there, next?
Definitely, there are definitely themes that happen for me naturally. You know, that whole, I usually also take photographs of the process. So if there's something I've covered up, I can at least look at it again and say, oh, I really liked how that was working, you know. But it also surprises me that sometimes people buy things that to me don't resonate for me at all, and other things that I love so much that I'm not willing to give up with, give up. And then people are like, ah, that's okay.
That's the taste. Now, is photography, do you have those same choices in photography?
I definitely do. Especially, I do a lot of water reflections, so I'll find something that I see reflecting in the water, and I might shoot 100 exposures of it. Then later on in the editing process, I'll go through and I'll find the ones that I like. So I don't know going in what that's going to look like. Mm-hmm. And then when I go to edit them, I might find a face in there, or I might find a body, or I might find different things in there.
not a real face.
No.
Shoot, I didn't even see that body in the water.
But it is interesting. You know, it's kind of the, I forget his first name, but the Japanese guy, Emoto, that used to photograph snowflakes, and he would find like different things in different, like, by the environment or where they were, polluted water, or if he'd put hate on a bottle and then he would photograph, make a snowflake out of that. And truly, when you go somewhere and you find water, you find all these, like if it's in Miami in the intercoastal, there's all these old people and things from that look like, you find things in the water that from, and you're in the mountains, you find kind of like different kind of Neanderthal kind of mountain lions, things like that in the water. I don't know why that is, but it does really happen.
Well, I mean, traditionally throughout all, I mean, societies all over time, all over our world, water has been sort of a portal in a way to another way mm-hmm. of to either the subconscious or to another power or whatever. So there is, it's a very evocative element. It seems difficult though. I mean, I love taking pictures, and water never behaves. It never does what I wanted. Like, you're supposed to look like this, and now you look like that.
Yeah.
So is that just because you're a professional photographer and you've been doing it for...
No, I really can't make water behave, but but I definitely take enough pictures that I can find something that I like in the editing process.
So we're speaking with artists that have studios at the Five Deuces. Does everybody have a studio? No. So Evelyn, you're one of the outsiders.
She's a guest artist. Yeah.
So some artists who have studios at the Five Deuces, and I wanted to segue for a minute because one of the things that have always fascinated me about artists, which I am not an artist, so I don't have this, is the sort of the idea of solitude versus community to make work. Are you all solitary workers? Do you need a lot of alone time? Or you're like, no, I want my people. Right, this is radio, so if you're shaking your head, it doesn't really do anything.
I can say I've been in both situations many times. I lived in Detroit for about 6 years. I ran another nonprofit there that had studios in it. Mm-hmm. And I had a studio there, but I designed the layout of the studios to be like kind of open. There was no doors. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of privacy. You know, you could be in a corner and you'd have to actually poke into someone's studio to interact with them. But then some people chose to work, and it was a residency program, so there was artists coming in and out every month, three different artists every month. But it was interesting to see the, you know, some artists are tucked back in the corner and they're like... Mm-hmm. They don't pop out at all, and then other artists are painting right next to the open space so they can look across into your studio. And I like that because it's, you know, it's an open process. You get to share. You end up having a lot more conversations mm-hmm. about what you're doing, the process of how you're making your work. And currently, I have a situation at the Five Deuces where, I have a studio next to Jeffrey's, but, like, you know, half the times we're both there, the doors are open. We just kind of pop in, say hey, talk about stuff. But then you can always just close the door if I really got to get down to work and I don't want anybody to bother me, just close the door.
Well, and that might be the difference sometimes between not necessarily that you want to be alone, but maybe you just need to get done. I mean, because yeah. I would not ever get a single thing done. I'd be chatting the entire time. I would be terrible.
Well, and I think sometimes your brain needs a break from whatever you're currently doing. I mean, when you study for a test, it's the same way. People think that they're procrastinating, but in a way, they're giving themselves a moment to take mm-hmm. a breather from the hard work of what they're doing. You know, I started going to the Dineen and Fine Arts Center, not because I really needed the training, but more because I needed the community, because I was isolated. I have another life as a computer consultant and trainer. I'm always home by myself. That's not good for me. I needed community. And then you're right. You get that wonderful kind of banter with other people, even about the work that you're doing, and that changes, the process, I think.
And there's, I think, two, or maybe this may or may not apply to you all, is that sometimes I just, for other things I'm doing, I need somebody else to look at it. You know, I need someone else's eyes, because if I can see it through someone else's eyes, I might be less harsh, or I might be, if I'm stuck, usually like if I'm stuck, and this is with writing, I have a person that I can send writing to, like, I don't know what to do. And that second pair of eyes, I might not take a single piece of advice, but at least it clears it. And you're shaking your head?
Yeah, no. That doesn't work.
So you're okay with people coming looking at, but they just have to just stay quiet.
Yeah, I mean, like Evelyn was saying earlier, sometimes people are like, oh, I love this piece. And I'm like, it's not even done. Like, it looks terrible. What are you talking about? And then other times I'm like, man, I love this piece. And they're like, So when I'm creating a piece of work, it literally just comes down, unless I'm doing a commission for somebody, it basically comes down to, do I feel good with it? Mm-hmm. And everybody else's opinion's out the window.
There we go. I like that. You're listening to Art in Your Ear on 88.5 WMNF Tampa. We're talking to artists from the Five Deuces Galleria. So how did it turn out that we have this outsider, this rebel?
Well, Julie is also an outsider as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have a small studio space, but it's not in the same complex.
Okay. Now, where's is it also in a group complex?
It is, but it's a new building, so they're still filling the spaces. I'm one of just a few artists that are there, which is great for me because, in answer to your earlier question, I prefer the isolation, 100% total isolation, to the point where if somebody walks by the door, it's enough of a distraction for me to lose my train of thought.
What are you going to do when they start walking past your door?
Put a shade
open. Right, yeah, I know. So there's ways. Have you, because you've had other studios, I would imagine, where you have to deal with those distractions and found ways to navigate them.
What I do is I like to paint late at night after everyone else has gone to bed. Right. Those distractions don't exist anymore.
There you go. I just had posted something earlier this week. It was an artwork and about being the only one up at night and how much they do and how much they love being the only one up at night. And so I hear you on that. And so we have the distraction. So your studio is right now sort of isolated, which is good. That may not last. And you've got plans. Your studio, Evelyn, is...
Well, I live in Dunedin, and I'm right on the Pinellas Trail, so I have a great big backyard and a Florida room that is currently my art studio. And so, yeah, that's where I've been working. And every once in a while, I open up the backyard for studio day and just let random people come in see what I've hung on my wall.
Oh, I'll have to do that. I ride the Pinellas Trail.
Oh, wonderful. If you see a little sign, this is our studio. That's me.
Okay. And so otherwise, if it's not open and somebody shows up, then that's kind of creepy.
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yes. I mean, they can come to the front door and say, I want to see, and, you know, they might get a tour, yeah.
Right, but still, like, if they're in their backyard, you're like, no.
Right.
Unless you're a bear, you're right. And then where are you on that spectrum, Jeffrey?
I normally, when I'm working on my artwork, it's on the computer, so I'm working by myself. And when I go out to take pictures, I usually go out and take them by myself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I kind of let the world show me which way to go when I go take pictures. So I just kind of wander. And then when I'm at the studio, randomly about probably three times a day, somebody rings the doorbell. And then I go out and I let them go through the gallery and look at the current show that's there. And I don't know if we mentioned, but this Saturday night is the opening
of our
show.
We did. We're not going to talk about it.
Yeah. Okay, good. I'm sorry. plug.
That's all right. I put that stuff to rest right away.
All right.
And so when you are shooting, are people curious? Like, what is this guy doing? He's standing, you know, by this body of water. Why is he?
All the time. I have people come over to me and they go, is there a manatee or are you seeing fish? You know, and I'm just shooting. I go, no, I'm shooting reflection. They're like, what?
You know, like, are you on drugs?
Yeah.
Can I get some?
Well, a lot of people ask me that about my work. But I like that. I like when people they go, well, what is that a picture of? And a lot of times they think that I do it in Photoshop, and I don't. It's just that I'm walking around trying to find the world from a different perspective than most people see it. And so I love it when someone says, oh, I don't, what is that? You know, or did you do that in Photoshop? Or the other thing I always get is, oh, those are great paintings.
Really? Yeah. That would be a huge compliment, I think. So have that painterly feeling. Yeah. And so we will now do a plug. So now who in this room has known each other before this interview?
All of us.
So you knew, and then you knew each other this way, like everybody knew you, but everyone knows each other already?
Yeah. So, well, Julie's had a couple shows at Five Deuces before, and so that's how she's kind of, and she also holds the record for, she's sold 18 paintings in a month.
Wow.
Which was
that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And is that helpful? Because I want to mention Five Deuces is right across from what was Brocante and now is Vintage Marché. I don't know how to say that word.
Yeah. And also Marché. We're in the same parking lot as Three Daughters.
Three Daughters Brewery. Yeah. And then the Folk Fest has been there in the past and lots of different things going on there. And so when you have I want to mention, because I did not do this correctly yesterday, there's a great... there's a great Puerto Rican restaurant at the front of the building. It's so good.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not going to say their name, or we're not going to say their name because we can't do commercials. But then there's Artist Studios. I know. I grew up in New York by all the Puerto Ricans. I'm so excited. And then there's Artist Studios. There's a building. And then there's sort of like a building with sort of a courtyard. And then there's another building.
Yeah, ours is the gray and white building at the very end of the parking lot.
Okay, so at the east end of the parking lot.
Yes.
So that's where to go. And then there'll be signage for everybody to find it easily.
Yep.
So long as you're not a dumb old radio host and you don't know where you're going.
Yeah.
So, and then how, you know, what What happens? Are there artist talks at the openings, or do you make sure all the artists are there? Do they have to wear big like crowns?
So no, they pretty much hang around their art and and you know, people ask them questions and they're there to talk with people, and you know, we serve wine and it's just kind of a fun night. It's a night out.
And is that for you guys? Is that how is that when you're standing by your art and then people are asking you questions or making comments, knowing or not knowing that you're the artist? What's
completely nerve-wracking?
I bet. You have a look on your face, girl.
No, I agree.
It's like, oh god, they're gonna say something bad.
Well, sometimes it's easy to talk about, and other times it's not. I think it's hit or miss. But what I always like to ask when people ask me what I meant by a certain thing in the picture, I like to ask them, well, what do you see? Mm-hmm. And because I hesitate to give my interpretation of it because it changes then what they see. I want to know, what do you see and what do you feel when you look at this?
Do you get surprises in that way?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I get really good stories and sometimes that's hugs awesome. And tears. And,
aww, yeah, that's nice.
Supporting. And see, with like completely abstract work, like people will see things and I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, how are you seeing this?
But that's it.
But that's the whole point. It's like, if they see that, that's great. Because, I mean, they're like, what do I see? And I'm like, I don't know. I like the way it looks.
I see red.
You know?
Yeah.
Shapes are cool.
Well, I mean, that's it. And longtime listeners will have heard this many a time. But that's how, you know, I was at a show and I saw these three Gerhard Richters, huge Gerhard Richters. Yes. And all of a sudden I understood, like, that was the transformation to understanding abstract art. And I was trying to explain to my sister what I saw, and she's like, okay, pat me on the head. But there is, and that's what it is. I mean, that's, to me, the, you know, part of the magic of any type of art, but especially when there's not a clear narrative element going on, is that you can sort of assign whatever you want. Evelyn, have you, when people come to your studio, when you let people come in off the path, the trail, or in situations like this, have you had to deal with a lot of people questioning what you, having questions about
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I've been doing smaller art shows, or a national one every year that has been really fun. And I'm very, I've gotten better, but I've felt very timid. So I'll watch people looking, especially if there's a crowd. It's nice to just pretend like I don't really belong there and just follow them
here.
Around. But it's fun to listen, to eavesdrop on the conversations they're having about what they're looking at. Mm-hmm. And then eventually somebody will say, are you the artist? And then I'm like, oh, darn it, I got found out. So, I agree with you. I do often redirect them to ask what they see first. Mm-hmm. Same thing with dream interpretation. Like, if I tell you what your dream is, you're going to lose the meaning. Mm-hmm. So I would rather that person tell me what they see. It's way more interesting to me that way.
I think one of the only really bad things that you can say to an artist in that is either like, oh, I could do that, or my kid could do that. Or, you know, I mean, it's just sort of like, no, that's not true. And whenever, when I've worked in art spaces and people have said that, I'm just like, that's
it's
defensive.
Painful for creatives in all areas. Mm-hmm. I think when we get those kinds of messages, not just as an artist, but even you, like, you're like, I'm not an artist, but you're a creative. Mm-hmm. So when we hear those things, it diminishes that energy towards creating.
Right. You know? But I feel also that that's because those people are feeling threatened in the space, and that's how they sort of reestablish themselves in that space. We only have a couple minutes left, and so I do want to talk a little bit about the show and the work in the show. There are two of our guests have work in the show, and then also Aaron Corbett. You're going to have to help if I'm sending names up. Vicky no. Imes, Vicky Milne, Patricia Clumi,
Darian,
and Odie Richards are here as well. In it, we'll have show, we'll have work in the show, and then the work stays up for a month.
Yes, it's up for a month, and we're open the first Saturday. We're open the second Saturday, and then we have a wine tasting usually on the third or fourth week of the. Of the thing where we have a wine bar come in and serve seven kinds of wine. It's a lot of fun.
And then if people are at, they're in that space or something, is there a way for them to come over and see work, or do they have to do that ahead of time?
It's better if they contact me ahead of time. My phone number is on the invitation. It's on the webpage and all that, or on the Facebook and Instagram. But a lot of times, three times a day, someone will ring the doorbell and just... And if I'm usually there between 10 and 3 or so.
Right.
And so I just let them in and let them see the show.
Yeah, because I think that's always kind of the dicey part is people want to see it spontaneously. And I know I'm not good of just sort of calling someone. Like, I'm not going to call them. They're like, unless, because then I feel like, oh, I have to buy something. And what if I'm not ready to buy art and stuff? I just want to see
it. I don't know if, you know, a lot of, we have Art Walk on the second weekend. Mm-hmm. And that's a great fun thing to do. And we're in the Warehouse Arts District. There's over 200 artists that have their studios open that on that night. So if you come, if somebody comes to our place, they can jump on the trolley.
Right.
They can go and see all the other shows. And it's a great night out.
I think the Art Walk is one of the best things that happens in St. Pete.
Oh, and it's all
funny
free.
How everybody, everybody always sort of, you know, what are you doing? It's always the second Saturday night. We're all, everybody knows what they're going to be doing that night. So I'm wondering, does anybody have anything coming up in the future that they want to mention before we end the interview? Anything? Mr.
Oh, I just finished two new pieces, my first two of this year.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, it's only like take three, right? But I started them last year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like the 29th or something. Like, but it's a show that's going to be based on looking forward into the future, and specifically about the environment and technology. And I'm one of, I think, six or seven artists. That's at the Cider Press Cafe on January 11th.
Okay, so that's January 11th.
So
Cider Press
Saturday
is located at Central Avenue and 6th Street.
I think so, yes.
Oh, no, I know. This one I know. So cool. Okay. So I'll have to look that up. And also I want to mention, dear listeners, that all this information will be up on the Art in Your Ear Facebook page a little while after the show ends, but I'll put everything up, plus people's websites up there. And Thomas, your website is thomasbellartist.com.
That is correct.
If people want to find it. And then, Jeffrey, do you have anything coming up?
Well, in February 1st, we have a new show opening at Five Deuces, and it's all photographers. So that's the first time we've done an all-photographer show. And just to put it out there, we're still looking for a couple of photographers because I'm very picky, and I'm not looking for great sunsets or pictures of pelicans. So.
Okay. So, and that information, contact information will be up there. Evelyn, what do you have? Do you have anything coming up we want?
I'm going to be installing a bunch of work to the Scone Age, which is a little coffee shop in Dunedin right on the trail.
Great name.
Yeah, the Scone Age. I know. It's wonderful. And they've invited me to bring my stuff in. So it'll be there until the end of February.
Excellent. And then do you have a website?
I do. It's evelyn.gallery.
Evelyn?
Evelyn.gallery. E-V-E-L-Y-N.
All right, okay. And then, hello.
Wow.
Julie Howra, do you have anything coming up?
I seem to have art scattered all across St. Pete. I do have three pieces at Five Deuces that folks will be able to see this month at the show that are collaboration efforts with Thomas. I have a new piece going in at the USF Marine Sciences. They have an opening the 14th.
So cool.
And I have quite a few pieces up at Flying Boat Brewery, but that I'm planning to take that down tomorrow.
Oh, so
hurry.
If you're going to drink tonight, there you go. And then I'll post everybody's websites up on our Facebook page and on our Art in Your Ear page on WMNF.org. Dear listeners, if you want to see the art that we've been talking about, it's well worth it. It's definitely well worth it. I'm very excited. Thank you all. And then Five Deuces will be up there as well, so you can get that information. Thank you all so much for coming.
Oh, thank you.
For the show. So please stay tuned. We're going to be chatting with Hank Hines in just a minute or so, but let's listen to a little bit of music. This is a local band that has a national profile, and this is The Hip Abduction. We're going to listen to Sing.
Thank you.
with Hip Abduction in the background. I believe that I am talking to Hank Hines. Hank, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Hank.
Thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it. And I'm calling in because something very cool is happening at the DALI all the time, but especially next Thursday. Dr. Hank Hines is the director of the DALI Museum, but you are not doing something in your director role. What are you doing?
So we have a great series that's curated by Helen Pruitt Wallace, who's the poet laureate of St. Petersburg. And she brings in terrific poets year after year. So it's the second Thursday of every month that Helen does this. And we've had wonderful readers, people that you would know from the area and on a national scene. And this time Helen asked me to read from a book I printed, which is the poems that a colleague of mine and I wrote. And it's called... 30 Days, Two Writers. And they're essentially epistolary poems. They're letters sent back and forth by email over 30 days. So they're like 60 poems, one by each of us, and it was like call and response. So we did this a couple years ago, and then I decided, well, you know, if I can get a little time on the weekends, I'll print this on my little printing press. And so we did.
Wonderful. Was there a certain topic that you guys started with, or was it how it ranged all over? What was sort of what's the content? And coming from letters to poems, were they initially intended to be poetry, or were they letters that sort of turned into poetry?
Oh, yeah, they were poems. So, you know, for years we've sent each other various poems that we've written, and this time we kind of picked up the pace, and so he wrote one, and I wrote one, and he wrote one, and I wrote one, and then I wrote one, and I wrote one, and he wrote one, and he wrote one. So it went on and on, and the topics are, you know, the kinds of things that always pop up in art of any kind, which are from the very daily events to kind of metaphysical thoughts, often with an emphasis on loss and philosophic speculation.
That's pretty. I feel kind of guilty right now because I've known you for many, many years and have known a lot of your talents, but I did not know about the poetry talent part of you.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't show on people, which is a good thing. They can live normal lives and still be poets. Whereas, you know, painters are a little harder because they usually have like a little bit of gesso on their ear.
Well, I'm a secret poet, so I'm like, oh man, that's awesome. Well, when you were doing this, is there what was the process? I mean, besides just sending each other, you know, something in email, was it something? What is your work process? Was it something that you would kind of put out and then go back and change, or are you a line by line guy? What's your writing style?
Well, mine very much is writing and rewriting and editing and trying to find connections that are either phonetic between thoughts or logically proceeding. And they're kind of carefully written. We tried to kind of connect them a certain way. So in some of them, one picks up not regularly, but sometimes picks up the last line from the other's poem and starts it again and kind of puts it in a new context. So we tried to hook them together so there would be some kind of, you know, connective tissue throughout the thing. And then there are no titles, but they have a day of the month, you know.
Was it, now you said you and Jeff Goodbye wrote these a few years ago?
Yeah, his name's Jeff Goodby, and he's like Goodbye, except
okay.
There's no E on there.
Okay, sorry, I wrote it wrong. And so,
yeah, he lives out in San Francisco.
Is there a, was revisiting these poems, revisiting a certain time in your life as well?
Yes, of course. And, you know, particularly if they're about loss, you kind of are brought back to it, reflecting on that.
Have things changed? Like, do you, because, I mean, I think it's hard to be in this world, and especially an adult in this world, without loss and without big chunks of loss. But then we move on in our relationship to whatever that loss or those losses are. Our relationships to them have changed a lot. And poetry is one of those things that sort of captures a moment and holds it, you know, as long as it can. So I'm really curious as to what it was to go back for both you and Jeff to go back to these and sort of say, oh, that's where we were. That's who we were. Yes, they still matter. Like, these poems still matter to us.
We haven't done that yet. we keep them a little alive because we're both also kind of visual artists. So we've been using them as canvases and painting stuff on them.
Wow!
And so they, you know, they get kind of new meanings by the visual component that gets thrown on. And since you can never sell books of poetry, you get a lot of them that you can paint on.
Are those going to be present too on next Thursday night at the Dali?
Yeah, I think we'll have one from each of us.
Oh, that's wonderful. And what, so going out broader, I have always thought that this program that you do with Helen Pruitt-Wallace is wonderful, because there is so much poetry being written and not a ton of places where it can be heard. And what was the impetus for the Dali Museum to start hosting a monthly poetry reading?
Well, you know, there are other organizations in town that by their kind of mission can sponsor current visual arts. You know, the Fine Arts Museum has a contemporary artist program. The Art Center is a place for, you know, practicing artists to show. But we have this, you know, we're kind of pretty much pegged to surrealism, its inheritance, its antecedents. So we're trying to think of, you know, ways that we can engage a community in a lively way in the arts, but not stray from our mission. And so, you know, an evening poetry series is just perfect for us.
That sounds great. That sounds great. Is there anything, I mean, the show that's up there right now, the special traveling show, Midnight in Paris, 1929, seems like that also has a lot of opportunities to jump off from and do some fun things. When you are in your head writing, is there ever part of the museum, artwork in the museum, or things happening at the museum that show up in your writing?
Oh, I think so, sure. And then, you know, the personalities for, like, right now, this show, as you mentioned, Midnight in Paris, it's really about a moment in which art was changing, and it was changing from being having the hierarchy of painting on top to incorporating drawing and photography and film. And so there was a kind of crisis of doctrine. And there are all these different artists, and we tried to bring them alive with photographs, so you can really feel, you see who they were and feel their personalities. And we put some of their quotes up over their pictures so that, you know, you can really feel the lively debate of that time. And a lot of it was poetic, and a lot of it was intellectual. So although it's visual art, it really is philosophical too. It mm-hmm. enters, you know, our own lives. And one of the points we try to make in the show is that we're kind of in that state right again, where there are new technologies available, and, you know, you can put something on the web that's just as vital as something, you know, painted on canvas or cast in bronze. So we're in this new era of technology, and art will change because of it.
And looking 90 years ago, that's wonderful. You know, to look back 90 years, something that's 90 years ago, and yet it still is just resonating right now because of that that dynamic energy of change. That.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm not going to ask you to read one of your poems for the airwaves, but I just want to, are you still writing? Do you have a daily practice or a weekly or monthly practice, or is that something that comes and goes?
I still write, although, you know, I think it's because I'm not that disciplined a person, it's a little sporadic.
Maybe you're a little busy too.
usually in January and February, I'm pretty good about writing every day. Slacks off.
Right. I hear that. Well, thank you so much. I just want to give out the information, and if you would make sure I'm correct, that you and Jeff Goodby, Jeff Goodby and you, Hank Hine, will be reading at the Poetry at the Dalí series that is held and organized by the wonderful Helen Pruitt Wallace. That's next Thursday night, my mom's birthday, January 9th, from 6 to 7:30 p.m., and it's at the Dalí Museum. Is it in the room that's right by the cafe?
Yeah, it's in the Will Raymond Theater.
Okay.
And it's a free event.
That's wonderful. Well, Hank, thank you so much for calling. I know you probably have things going on, but I'm so curious. It's 30 days, two writers, and just the idea of it. There's a name for that, and I can't think of it. And I'm mad at myself for not looking it up when writers do that, when they have, besides epistolary, but when they sort of feed off each other's work to create something. And I'll know it by next Thursday, I promise. But thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
The conversation. It was fun.
Well, good. And I hope to see you soon. Maybe next Thursday.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye. Yep. And that was Hank Hine from the Dalí Museum. And all this information will be up on the Art in Your Ear Facebook page. And if I get my act together, on the Art in Your Ear page. Here's some other information about an upcoming event.
WMNF is joining the debate about health care. We're putting on an event called The Business Case for Medicare for All. It takes place Monday night, January 6th at 7:30 p.m. at the Palladium in St. Petersburg. We'll have two national speakers, including a health insurance industry whistleblower, and we'll show a film about business leaders who support single payer. Tickets are available at WMNF.org, or you can call us to get your tickets, 813-238-8001.
Of course, you can go online and get those tickets. We're almost done here, and I have a Rebecca Pulley song I want to play before I get out of here. But I want to let you know that PAVA, the PAVA Annual Members Art Awards exhibit, is up. It was yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It's at Creative Pinellas Pinewood Gallery, which is located at 12211 Walsingham Road. And if you want some more information, you can go online to PAVA, pava-artists.org. Well, thank you so much for listening to Art in Your Ear. Thank you so much for listening to WMNF. Thank you so much for being part of this wonderful radio station. I am so grateful that you are here. If you want to get in touch with me, you can always email joellen, J-O-E-L-L-E-N, at WMNF.org. You have been listening to WMNF Tampa 40 years radioactive. How lucky we are. Coming up next is the Live Music Showcase. On the Live Music Showcase, they've got the Genius Six and the Old Souls. After that is the Rhythm Revival, and Reverend Billy will be in here with Paul and Patty during the Rhythm Revival, followed by the Bumpy Ride, I think Rebels Back with Russ and Paul, and then Route 66 Soul Party, which is Route 66 is Jump Jive. Soul Party is classic soul and R&B, Flashback Friday, blues music, just great stuff. Stick with us, won't you? Stay tuned for the NPR News here on WMNF Tampa, 88.5 FM.
Here I am, same as I was, letting it all ride on rain, just because, and there they